And now if you'll turn in your Bibles to the first book of the Bible, the book of beginnings. The book of Genesis, chapter 1. And I'm going to read for you, beginning at verse 14 of the book of Genesis, chapter 1. And may I remind you, while you're finding your place there in the Word of God, that you have another opportunity to come together again tonight, our training program at 6 o'clock in the adult training for the next few weeks. Brother Benny is not going to be able to be here, but Brother Francis Miller tonight will be teaching in his place, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you. And a message from God's Word and fellowship together at 7 o'clock. I hope that you will be in your place. Genesis 1:14, after a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for Thy blessed Word that brings to us the good news of salvation. We thank Thee that we have not been left to grope in the darkness. We thank Thee that Christ is the light, and from Him we can shine as reflectors in this dark world. We pray as we shall look at these verses together, that the Holy Spirit might take every word and every thought and every gesture and every breath, and by the anointing of the Spirit bring the truth to our hearts. Especially, Heavenly Father, would we ask for that man who is here without Christ, for that woman who knows not the Savior, for that mother or daddy or young person or boy or girl who has never tasted the heavenly gift, may they come today and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. May a star of hope arise in their darkened sky today. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for His sake, with thanksgiving. Amen. Now, beginning at verse 14, Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Now, in the last phrase of verse 16, you will find my text. He made the stars also. I understand from reading that with the naked eye on a clear night, several thousands of stars can be seen. With the aid of a telescope, they say that 1,000 stars for every one star that can be seen with a naked eye can be seen through the lens of the telescope. Our great sun, some 93 million miles away from us, is a star. And the reason it shines so brightly is because it is so close, even though it be almost 100 million miles away. From the very beginning of His creation, God has made provision for everything. He has left nothing undone. For the fish, He made the water. For the birds, He made the air. For mankind, He has made everything. For man is the essence and the zenith of God's creation. God has given us a world of light to live in. He has seen to it in His wise providence that the stars are in their sockets to bring us light through the sun by day and the moon and myriads of stars by night. By the help of the Holy Spirit this morning, and I trust that you would be in prayer, I want to bring to your attention some stars that have been placed over the sky of mankind. First, the man Joseph placed a star in the sky over Egypt. I would not have to spend long to remind you that a man by the name of Jacob had 12 sons. One of those sons was named Joseph, and he was his daddy's favorite. He was the son of the old age. Now, you older sons, remember that when you were coming up, mother and daddy said no, you know, to just about everything you wanted. But when the son of the old age came along, anything he wanted, nothing was too good for my boy. Some of you have had that experience. You know what I'm talking about. But Joseph seemed to be the favorite son, and his daddy gave him a coat of many colors. And his brothers got jealous. Now, the late Dr. Norris used to say, if you're jealous of someone, one of three things is true. They have more than you have, they know more than you know, or they can do more than you can do. The brothers of Joseph were very jealous. And so they conspired and plotted against him. Brothers now, mind ye, his own flesh and blood. And they put him in a pit and dipped his coat of many colors in the blood of a slain beast and took it back to their father and said, Joseph is dead. One of them, who was wiser perhaps than others, said, let us not leave him in the pit, but let us draw him out of the pit, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ going into the heart of the earth, and lift it out again. But let us sell him into slavery and make something off of him. And so they sold him to a band of travelers on their way to Egypt. And down there in Egypt, Joseph was framed against. It looked like everything was going against him. Say, did it ever look like to you that everything was going against you? Well, then I beg you this morning to look up. There is a brighter day. The star of hope is shining this morning. Amen. There is a better day. Joseph is in prison. And while there, two of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt's servants, had dreams. And they were disturbed. And Joseph interpreted those dreams for them. And they were released from prison. And the interpretation that Joseph gave to these dreams was exactly what came to pass. You know why? Because God was with Joseph. Here was a man in whom was the Spirit of God. And about 2 years later, King Pharaoh had a dream. And Pharaoh was disturbed. One of his servants said, say, by the way, I remember when I was in prison, there was a young man there from the land of the Hebrews. Watch God's seed, God's people, the seed of Abraham. They still have a place in the history of the world. There is a young man in prison from the land of the Hebrews. And Pharaoh, your honor, he can interpret dreams. And Pharaoh said, bring him out. And I can imagine that Joseph cleaned himself up from the prison garment. I can imagine that he must have shined his shoes and shaved and cut his hair. And that's always helpful. and stood before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, I have dreamed a dream. And here it is. And Joseph said, here's the interpretation. There are going to be 7 years of plenty, and there are going to follow that 7 years of famine. You better do something about it. Look you out in your kingdom, Pharaoh, a man, and put him over all of your household and of all of the kingdom and of all the food in your kingdom. And Pharaoh began to look, and he didn't have to look far until he found his man, and his man was Joseph. And the Bible tells us that Joseph was elevated to the second ruler in all of Egypt. And that the king put his necklace about Joseph's neck and put him in his chariot and paraded him through the streets of Egypt and said, this is your governor, and he is in charge of all your food. And Joseph, beloved, placed a star in the sky of Egypt. And what was this star? Read it in Genesis 41, verse 55. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, my, I love this, listen to it. Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And here's the star. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph to buy corn, because that the famine was sore in all the lands. Joseph's star was a star of salvation. I mean physical salvation. For the text that I read there a while ago says that Joseph opened the storehouse, and Pharaoh, when the people cried to him for bread, Pharaoh said, go to Joseph. My friend this morning outside Christ, my friend who is saved, I say to you, go to Jesus. He is our Joseph. He is our Savior. He is our bread of life. If you are hungry, feast upon him. If you are thirsty, drink at his fountain. If you are weary, rest in his arms. Amen. Go to Jesus this morning. You out there without him today, needing to trust him and obey him, I beg you, go to Jesus. He's got the star of salvation today. I am the way, the truth, and the life, said he, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. All of the Egyptians and all the people around the lands of Egypt came to Joseph. And our Joseph said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I beg you, hasten to see Jesus this morning, for he is the star of your salvation. Now there's another man who put a star in the sky, and that was John the Baptist. And John the Baptist placed a star in the sky over Israel. When the days of the Old Testament prophecy closed with the closing of the book of Malachi, before the New Testament period began, there were 400 years. 400 years of darkness and silence and no revelation and no voice and no prophet. But then, in fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy, we read in Matthew chapter 3 that John the Baptist came out of the wilderness crying as the voice of one in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. That's the answer to all the prophecies of Old Testament. Through the darkness of that intertestament period, there was no voice, there was no revelation, there was no prophet. But John the Baptist came as the the harbinger and the herald of the Lord Jesus, and cried, as Isaiah said in his 40th chapter, that John would do, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And so the star that John the Baptist placed in the sky over Israel was a star of gladness. And when John the Baptist was baptizing in the River Jordan and Jesus came by, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Oh, but my friend, I must remind you this morning that this is God's Lamb. This is God's sacrifice. This is the Savior of mankind. This is the Savior of the world. And mister, may I tell you today, if your sins are ever washed away, if your sins are ever forgiven, if your soul is ever saved, you must come to Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. John the Baptist put a star of gladness, of glad tidings, of good news. The Savior has come. Israel no longer needs to wait, for Christ is here. And I tell you today that you need not wait. You need tarry no longer. You need not be anxious or fearful one moment longer. But right now, you may open the door of your heart and let the Lord Jesus Christ come in. Oh, it must have been a beautiful sight when that prophet of God, Simeon, in the second chapter of Luke, went into the temple when Jesus was being presented to the Father in keeping with the law of Moses. And Simeon, the Bible tells us, took the baby Jesus in his arms and Simeon said, "Lord, lettest now thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." The Savior is here. Spread the news around today. Tell it far and wide. Tell it in every language. Write it in every book. Put it on every broadcast. The Savior is here today. And he's here to save you. He's here to strengthen you. He's here to sustain you. He's here to secure you this morning. You need not wait. The Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is here because John the Baptist put a star of gladness in the sky of Israel. But there is another star that outshines all of them today. Jesus Christ himself put a star in the sky. And the star that Jesus put in the sky was put in the sky of all mankind. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. All of mankind was in darkness. The world was covered in darkness. But listen to these words from the prophet Isaiah. "They that sat in darkness have seen a great light. And they that walk in the shadow of death, upon them hath that light shined." Jesus Christ over the darkened sky of the world, dark with sin, dark with tragedy, dark with lost revelation, Jesus Christ put a star in the sky. And that star was the star of immortality. Paul put it like this in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. "Christ hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light." There was no doctrine of resurrection till Jesus came and conquered death. Paul said, "I declare unto you the gospel, how that Jesus Christ was crucified according to the scriptures, how that he was buried according to the scriptures, and how that on the morning of the third day he was raised according to the scriptures." I say unto you that Jesus Christ put a star of immortality in the sky of mankind, a sky that was darkened by death. Jesus became eternal life for us. Someone put it this way: I came from God, and I'm going back to God. But long before that, Solomon put it this way: the dust shall return to the earth, and the spirit to God from whence it came. Jesus hanged the star of immortality across a darkened sky. In the days of old, Job asked this question: if a man die, shall he live again? One of the most outstanding scientists the world has ever known. The only reason that your milk doesn't make you sick today was because of this man, Louis Pasteur, who gave to us the process of pasteurization of milk. He tried to answer Job's question, if a man dies, shall he live again? As he stood by the grave of his only daughter, and I quote, Louis Pasteur said, I know only scientifically determined truth, but I am going to believe what I wish to believe, what I cannot help but believe. I expect to see my daughter in the other world. He tried to answer Job's question. David tried to answer Job's question when his firstborn was dead and they came and brought the news. David said, I cannot bring the baby back, but I can go to be with him. Paul tried to answer that question in 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I show you a mystery, said Paul. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul attempted to answer that question. But I can never be fully satisfied until I hear it from the lips of the Master himself. The one who put the star of immortality in the sky, when they came to him and said, the one whom thou lovest is dead. Lazarus is already dead and he's in his grave 4 days. Jesus said, but he shall live again. And the sisters of Lazarus said, oh yes, Master, we know. We know that in the day of the resurrection he shall live. And these are the most wonderful words I believe that Jesus ever spoke. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Amen. Shakespeare said it, all that live must die. Jesus said it better, all that die must live. This last week, one of our little Sunday school boys, David Lane, answered Job's question. If a man dies, shall he live again? We rushed out to the hospital in the early part of the week. And Mrs. Lane was there, and her mother was there, and her daddy was in a dying condition.
Mrs. Lane said to me, "Brother Barber, I must share this with you." She said, when Daddy was taken sick Sunday, David, I think he's in the junior department, am I right?
Yes.
He's in the junior department. David said, "Mother, I'm going to pray for Granddaddy to get well." And his mother said, "But son, you must pray for God's will to be done." He said, "All right, Mother, then I'll pray for God's will to be done." And then he said, "You know, Mother, if Granddaddy dies before Christmas, it'll be the best Christmas he ever had."
Amen.
And she said, "What do you mean, son?" And David Lane said, "Granddaddy will be with Jesus." That's what Paul meant when he said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm glad that star of immortality is shining this morning. Oh, my friend outside the Savior, won't you please come to him today? Daddy, won't you come and bring the family and trust him today? Mother, won't you come? The star of immortality, the star of eternal life, the star of hope is shining. The answer of Job's question is here. All that live must die, but all that die must live. Let us pray. May I remind you, dear friend, while our heads are bowed, that there's a star shining for you. There's a star of divine mercy. There's the star of matchless grace. There's the star of eternal salvation. Heavenly Father, this morning we ask that thou wouldst bless every heart and every life here today. We thank thee that Job's question has been answered by the scientist, that Job's question has been answered by the psalmist, that Job's question has been answered by the soldier of the cross, that Job's question has been answered by little David Lane. But we thank thee 10,000 times, 10,000 times, 10,000, that Job's question has been answered by the Savior. We ask this morning for those who know him not that they would come and trust him even in this hour. For those who need a church home that they would come and identify themselves with thy people. For those who need to come about an altar of prayer, may they come even in this moment out of their seats. May they see afresh and anew again the star of salvation and the star of gladness and the star of immortality shining for them. In Jesus' name we pray.